Welcome to Q&A with TNK. They've surfed the interwebs. They've contemplated, ruminated, and speculated. They've checked the teletype, and now they're ready to answer your questions. Here are your hosts, Tiffany and Kristen.
Hello, and welcome to Q&A.
With TNK, I'm Kristen.
I'm Tiffany.
Hello.
We're your question and answer duo.
Woohoo! What's our question for this lovely day?
The question is, does barometric pressure affect child behavior? From Lolly in Louisiana?
Oh,
is Lolly. Lolly, is Lolly short for something, is what I want to know.
Maybe Lollyanna?
Lollyanna.
I don't know, but I really like that name.
No, me too.
Okay.
Lolly, so, we love your name.
We do love your name. And we are coming to visit in Louisiana on UnCon 20-something.
Yeah.
Like five years from now. So we should meet you, Lolly.
Yeah. That sounds awesome. Let's meet you, Lolly. So this barometric pressure question.
We've actually put off answering this one for a very long time because we felt like we needed to do a little bit of scientific research on it.
Yeah. Because I feel like the same way that this question kind of leads into this like old wives' tale logic for me of like,
yeah.
Does the barometric pressure affect the children? Oh, it's a full moon. Everyone's going to be turds today. You know what I mean? And so I really wanted to give this question some like fair thought and like give it a real answer.
Yeah, I think so too. And there's so much.
Where did you come from with this one?
Oh, well, for me, I like took into account a lot of other things. I tried to like to look at how weather can affect lots of other things, not just children. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to look into like how it affect like hospitals when they say that women come in on full moons and they have so many more babies on full moons, or how people have arthritis pain when their barometric pressure drops or when a storm is coming in, or how animals react when there's bad weather coming.
Yeah.
And so I kind of looked into all of that a little bit. I mean, not a ton, but I just kind of wanted to get some questions answered about those things to like then kind of make some inferences about how it can affect and if it really does affect children's behavior.
I feel like there's also that level of it that you can just feel yourself. Mm-hmm. You'll be sitting inside a windowless room and you're like, storms are coming.
Yeah, you can. I mean,
doesn't happen all the time.
No. I think as an adult, like we know like what the air starts to feel like. And we know just from living for so long, little kids can't feel that. So that's, I mean, they maybe don't, they aren't. What's the word? They don't.
Cognizant?
Yeah. They're not cognizant that it's actually happening, but their bodies maybe do feel it. But as an adult, we notice all of the changes in the air and the wind and how it can maybe affect like our surroundings.
Yeah.
And we recognize that.
Yeah.
Cognizant of it. So.
Yeah. It's Wednesday.
Ooh. So what did you like think about before? As we were preparing for this question,
my main thought throughout this whole process was whether or not barometric pressure does affect children's behavior. How would you use that information to change your practice?
Right.
So, like, let's pretend that we went down the scientific rabbit hole and all the research says, like, yes, children act crazy, like crazy pants on fire, crazy every time the barometric pressure drops past a certain point. How would that change how you teach each day?
Right.
Would it? Or are you also in the same boat as the kids?
Right.
Right.
Maybe you're feeling it too.
Yeah.
I'm just a little bit distracted because I see a camel on the wall behind you.
A camel?
Is there a camel like painted on the wall behind
you? There is. A camel I've never seen before.
That's why there was a little bit of a silence, because
there's some interesting things drawn on the walls of my basement, guys.
You've never seen the camel?
Nope.
Well, it's very faint, so I'm sorry, listeners, that we just took that little journey. Do you think maybe a camel is affected by the weather?
Barometric pressure falling.
Okay, so let's talk maybe a little bit of science, because I kind of looked into it just a teeny bit. I'm not a scientist by any means, but...
But you're a critical thinker.
Yeah, I'm a critical thinker, so...
That counts for something.
Yeah. I checked... I kind of wanted to find out, like, what the barometric pressure, what it can do. So when, like, weather systems change, tides are affected. So that's, like, the pull of fluid on the world. And we have fluid in our body.
Yeah.
Brain is made of water. Fluid.
Yeah.
So I really tend to think that maybe there could be a correlation there. Like, because all of the other water in the world is affected, why wouldn't the water inside your body be affected?
Yeah.
So I do. I do see a little bit of a correlation.
Yeah.
And then maybe that just throws kids off. It throws people off a little bit. The full moon. So the tides are a little bit different around full moon time, I think. I didn't really look into that, but I think that's what I remember learning. So women who have babies in their belly ready to come out, that pull, like the full moon and the pressure systems on the earth, like that affects the fluid in their body. And maybe that's why they go into labor when there's a full moon.
Maybe just got that tie just pulls that baby right out.
We can thank Mother Earth for birthing your babies.
Yeah.
Well, and animals. So animals tend to have different behaviors, and they kind of can sense when there's low pressure systems, when the barometric pressure has fallen, and they do different things. So like deer, hunters here in Minnesota have noticed that deer act a little bit differently when they're in hunting season, when the barometric pressure is lower, like they move around a lot more or move around a lot less. I'm not sure which one it is. I'm not a hunter, but I've heard that. And bears sometimes choose a different spot in their cave depending on what kind of winter it's going to be. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
And bees and birds will find their nest when they feel the pressure drop in the air. So, there's something. There's something there, I think. However, I don't think it is an excuse.
Agreed. That's what I see happening on full moon.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a full moon. Everybody's acting crazy.
Yeah. Like,
well, actually, you like stayed out drinking really late last night and then you came to school hungover. So like that has nothing to do with the full moon. But maybe it does. Oh, maybe the teacher is so affected by the full moon, too, that they don't realize how their behavior is affecting the children.
Could totally. It would be interesting to do like a study on this to see if there's actual, like, to track it over the course of a year.
Funny you should bring that up.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
What do you know?
We did some digging, and there's an article by Nicole J. Blaskowski. We should find her. Let's talk to Nicole and see what she's doing.
I wonder if she's to my like, list. I wonder if she, so when
this
did
is
she,
in this? 2007.
Okay.
Her master's thesis in guidance and counseling was titled The Effects of Barometric Pressure on First Graders' Behavior.
Oh.
From the University of Wisconsin, Stout.
What did she find?
And she found, I think there was a very loose correlation, right?
Okay.
As is the case with many master's project theses, you get to a certain point, you're like, wow, like we researched 3 classrooms. We should have probably researched 100.
More.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. But she did really tie in all the research from other things like fishing. She talked about an article about barometric pressure on fishing a lot and how it changes fish behavior. But her general consensus was sorta.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I'd put that.
And that's kind of what we kind of thought as well, yeah, at the beginning of this conversation, that yeah, there's maybe sort of.
Yeah.
But it's totally no excuse.
Yeah.
So when we do feel the children start to maybe be a little bit more aggressive or maybe be acting wild and crazy or whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it, and we mm-hmm. think, oh, the barometric pressure must be falling, there's a yeah. low pressure system coming in, or it must have been a full moon last night, or it must be a full moon tonight. Like, what would you do?
That is the resounding question. So if you're one of those people who's like checking the barometric pressure every day, how do you change your practice on that day when it drops below a certain threshold?
Right.
Because is the goal to have a quote unquote normal day on those days?
Right.
Or do you just need to like hold on to your butts? Here we go.
And then just kind of feed into what the children are needing.
Yeah.
And make it a wild and crazy day.
Yeah. Maybe they need to be in a different part of the cave today.
Right.
Yeah. Ooh.
That was really cute. I like how you stated that. They need to be in a different part of the cave.
Yeah. Maybe it means that you, instead of having inside playtime and then outside playtime, you structure it so that you can leave the door open all day.
Yeah, they do what they need.
We definitely had one of these moments this week.
Okay.
Where you could see the storm coming, you could feel it, you could smell it. First big rainstorm of the season, or rainstorm in a while. And one little girl spent the whole day running out to the playground,
mm-hmm.
telling everyone on it, "There's a storm's a coming, better come inside." And then she'd run in. And then 5 minutes later, she'd come out and look around. "A storm's a coming. Better come inside." She did that all day.
Oh, my gosh.
And the storm
gosh.
Didn't come until, like, 5 o'clock at night.
Oh.
But that was, like, how she dealt with it. So, like,
yeah,
maybe making room for that on days yeah. when you can feel it's off. Let's not stick to the routine today.
Right.
Nobody can.
Exactly. And I feel like if you have a truly playful learning, child-led environment. And if this is the first podcast that you're listening to of ours, you should go back and listen to some more on playful yeah. learning and what child-led learning is, and check out Child Care Barn Grill, because they have a lot of really good...
Mm-hmm. And Dirty Playologist.
Dirty Playologist?
Down and dirty with play.
Oh, well, I have not listened to theirs yet. No.
Well, this is me telling you need to.
Okay, well, so I feel like if you have a truly playful learning environment, child-led, that in these moments of low barometric pressure, full moon, you're going to be able to deal with it. You're going to be able to give the kids what they need, and you don't have to blame it on that, because yeah. they're just having a day. Everybody's having a day.
They need something different today.
Yeah, you figure out what they need, and that might be some trial and error. It might be, do they need to play with the gigantic parachute and go underneath it a million times? Do they need to do more active songs? Do they need to get out the bucket of music instruments and create a band and march around the classroom? I mean, does mm-hmm. it need to be wild and crazy, or does it need to be low key? Do you want to bring it down and make everything more low key? I feel like on days like that, though, you would be setting yourself up for failure if you tried to calm everybody down when they're yeah. not calmable.
You got to be up there with them, man.
Yeah.
You got to be equally affected.
So you're going to be that poopy faced teacher who is mad about what every child is doing because you're trying to bring them down when they're not able to be brought down.
Yeah. And I think thinking of it as an external force like that, viewing it as, oh, the barometric pressure is dropping, that's why it feels off today, can be a good thing for those days where, like, maybe this is what's going on. They just need something right. totally different than they usually need, and embrace it. I worry sometimes that it goes the opposite way, where it's like, oh, must be the barometric pressure dropping. It's not me. It's not my actions as a teacher. It's not how I'm handling situations. It's something else. So I think that's like a delicate two-way street you have to think about.
Right. It's almost using it. So if you feel yourself in your practice using the barometric pressure in the full moon more than once or twice a month.
Yeah.
You need to reevaluate the way that your early childhood classroom or daycare is set up, because maybe you're not allowing enough free, like, child-led play in your day. And maybe it's too structured, too teacher-directed. Maybe you need to allow the children to make some of their own decisions and create freely and discover things on their own and have time to ask questions and learn new things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if it's happening a lot, it's time to reflect and reevaluate on your practice.
Yeah. I also think that those barometric, we're going to call them barometric pressure days from now on.
Yeah.
I think that as a teacher, they should be really fun days. I mean, yeah, kids are going to get, you know, that's the days when emotions are high too.
Yeah.
So like they might be a little more emotionally taxing than other days. But if you like, if you're on that roller coaster with them and you strap in for that ride, like it's going to be a fun day. It could be a day like you've never had before. But if you view it every time they happen as like, oh, I'm getting on this, you know, back a Walmart fantastic ride that hasn't been maintenanced in 15 years and I'm going to probably spill my cookies partway through, then that's that's like maybe the not the right attitude to have about them.
I agree. I completely agree. And I think I'm going to go into this year. Well, I'm starting a new forest school program this year and I'm teaching that. So we're going to be outside 100% of the time for 3 hours a day.
Woo.
And I think we're really going to feel it.
Yeah.
I think we will, because just being outside and having that, I mean, it being outside constant, I think we'll feel it. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go into the year like, let's just make it a day then. Let's just make it a wild and crazy, fun thing and just embrace it.
Kristen, what's the name of your new school? Because I love it.
It's Wild Rumpus Forest and Nature Programs.
That's so cute.
I know. So it came from the book Where the Wild Things Are, because that book just totally encapsulates everything about my program. I just, the imagination and creativity and just the forces of nature, and I love it. And so when I read the passage Wild Rumpus the other night, it just was like, whoa, that's it. That's what it has to be. So it's for all of our offsite forest school programming. So it could be homeschool families that we're going to try to connect with. It could be our preschool forest school program. It could be pop-up nature playgrounds. It's anything that's done offsite, separate from our preschool onsite program.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially unlicensed.
Oh. You know, I love a good unlicensed program.
So we needed to have a different identity from our licensed program so that we can post pictures on Facebook and not have licensors, you know, checking things out.
Mm-hmm.
So. Wild Rumpus.
Wild Rumpus.
And so then we went to a bookstore yesterday. There is a bookstore in Minneapolis, Minnesota, called Wild Rumpus, and it's a children's bookstore. So my family and I went to it yesterday just to check it out, and they have like 7 store cats. They were laying in the front window, like cozied up in the sun in their whole, and I don't know how to pronounce it. There's a new book called Miss Peregrini, Home for Peculiar Children. Yep. How do you say her name?
Don't know. Haven't read
it. I don't know. But there was a whole display in the window. So they have these cats sitting there with all these old looking suitcases and old frames and things. It was so cute. And they have, so the store was based off of the book, The Salamander Room. And so it starts out all bright and sunny, and then it gets really a lot darker as you go back into the back of the store. And then there's like rats under the floor in the back of the store, and they have like birds and chinchillas everywhere. It's really cool.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the new program. Back to the barometric pressure. So
there's one more study I need to mention.
Okay.
It's called Barometric Pressure, Emergency Psychiatric Visits, and Violent Acts.
Oh.
And this to me was, this is a meta study, which means that they pooled data from tons of different studies and then looked at it through a different lens. And so they looked at the total number of, so they compared total number of violent acts, emergency psychiatry visits, suicides, and visits to the emergency room.
Okay.
And then they looked at, they compared it to barometric pressure over the entire year of 1999 in one city.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to see what findings were.
The findings were that there were more acts of violence and emergency psychiatry visits.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. During moments of low barometric pressure. However, they also noticed that low barometric pressure is also so closely tied into seasons and time of year and all that.
Yeah.
That how much of it is because of seasonal affective disorder and, you know,
vitamin D.
Yeah.
And all
or
that
like
kind of
holidays.
Stuff. Yeah.
I know holidays are always tough emotionally just because there's so much pressure and stress that goes in.
Yes.
So this is another one of those studies that's like, well, maybe.
Ah. I wish it was just like so conclusive that it could be. You totally use it as a scapegoat or totally not. But
yeah.
I think basically in conclusion, mm-hmm. just if you're feeling like it happens a lot, maybe reevaluate a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But if you have a kid who has an off day, in addition to 12 other kids in your class, you notice that like, wow, everybody was more violent than usual. And then the next day, they're back to normal. Like, maybe it was a sudden drop in barometric pressure.
Right. It could have been.
It could have been.
And their fluids are all out of whack because the earth is pulling on them.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those moments, like, I had a conversation with Dan Hodgins about this during UnCon. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
One of those moments where what the children need is not something that is within the realm of providing.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. What do you need when the barometric pressure drops for the storm to pass? Like that's
right.
You can't make that happen as a teacher.
Mm-mm.
But
it's just got to roll with
it. If what they actually need is a way to safely hit each other with sticks and it has nothing to do with barometric pressure, then like buy some pool noodles, yo. Move on with your life.
I love it. Okay. Are we, should we,
what would you do?
All right. Here we go, Tiffany.
I'm excited and nervous at the same time.
Okay. My husband helped me come up with some of these yesterday. Okay. Do you want more serious or more not serious?
More not serious. I feel like we got real serious at the end.
Okay.
The end there.
Now this is going to talk about a field trip and field trips are, in my mind, just for young children, probably aren't necessary. But I just wanted to do it for this question. So, and I think that you can listen to a podcast, Shaken Bones podcast about field trips, if you're interested in hearing at all about, you know, field trips in early childhood education and why not to do them. So you can listen to Dan Hodgins and Amy Ahola on that, on Shaken Bones. Okay,
Shaken
here
bones.
We go. So you are on a field trip at the ocean with your class, and one of your students gets stung by a jellyfish, and you're the only one there, well, with your other students. What would you do?
Oh, that's exciting. What kind of jellyfish? Are they going to die anytime soon? Or is it just going to hurt?
It's kind of the jellyfish that you have to pee on somebody in order to get the sting to go away.
I've heard that that's not really real, though.
It's not?
No.
Is it another wives' tale that we need to cover?
I think it is. if a child is stung by any jellyfish, I don't know enough about jellyfish to know the difference. So I'm going to call 911 probably.
Totally.
Like, coming from my program, if we drove all the way to the beach, I have a feeling not many of these children have been stung by jellyfish before. Who knows what kind of weird reaction this kid's going to have?
Yeah. So 911 would be a good call. Okay.
I think so. Yes. You want me to pee on it is what you want me to do. Would I pee on it?
Would you pee on a student or not?
I think I have a better solution.
Okay, tell
me. I think I would ask a friend who is a boy to pee on it.
Oh.
Because my aim is not going to be great.
That's a good idea. That's a
good. And that kid's just going to have like my butt in their face. Like, I'd much rather have a little boy pee with accuracy. And then, like, you know, it's, I don't know about that, though.
Well, I think that if it were true that you, the only way you could cure a jellyfish stick was by peeing on them, I think that would be the best taken better, like, than you peeing on your student. Like, if you said, yeah, a little boy, I had so-and-so, his friend, pee on him, parents would probably accept that better than you peeing on them. Do you think?
I don't know. If it's life or death, I want to be the one to do it. You know what I mean?
Totally.
I don't want another kid to be responsible.
You could pee in a cup and then pour it on
them. Oh, that's the solution.
Yeah.
Pee in a cup and then pour it on them.
Yeah.
And I feel like I need to be clear. I'm not worried about the kids watching me pee. If I think that kid's going to die unless I pee on them. Like,
right.
All modesty goes aside in that situation.
It would totally go aside.
Yeah.
And all the kids would be like, oh my gosh, we sat Tiffany's butt.
I'd never live it down. I like the pee in a cup, though, because that thing that I'm worried about is that I'm a lady and I'm just going to like, oh, here I go. I'm going to pee on your hand. And then like, oh, accidentally pee on not their hand.
Right. It would just, you don't have very good aim. No.
No.
That's going to end up. No.
I told you about that time I tried to pee on a fire to put it out.
No.
Well, we were camping, and all the boys were like, well, you pee on this fire, put it out, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, whatever, ladies can pee on fires too. And in order to get close enough, my butt got so hot. I thought I was going to burn my butt just to, like, get over the fire to pee on it. Ladies, if you've peed on a fire successfully, we want to talk to you. Next time on Q&A with T and K.
Okay.
Well, Kristen.
Well, Tiffany.
It's been fun.
See you next time on Q&A with T and K.
This has been Q&A with T and K. Thank you for listening. From serious to silly, Tiffany and Kristen are eager to answer your questions. Just email them to q4tnk@gmail.com. That's q4tandk@gmail.com. We'll be back next week with another episode. Music by Kurt Pearsall, Tiffany's sweet, sweet hubby.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production. Oh.